everybody, and welcome to episode 123 of the Game Over Nation podcast. I am your fill-in host, Ryan De La Rosa, and with me this week is Gabe Philbin.
It's easy as ABC.
And also Dylan Roush.
I can count to four.
Oh. Well, then Dylan would be 80% of the way to my luggage combination.
You'll never guess what
you'll never guess
is.
What the last number is ever.
It's fish.
Yay. So anyway, Gabe, what's going on?
I don't know, you know, chilling.
I actually tried to get prepared for this. I said, Gabe, what's the news this week? And he said, secret.
Yeah. Well, before we get into the news, I went to Comic-Con.
No, you didn't.
Over the weekend.
Fuck him.
For a day.
Y'all just went one day?
Yeah. I just went. I took Javi's badge. I didn't. I took my badge for one day that was totally not Javi's when he was at work, and I took the day off with Rachel, and we went and spent lots of money.
Yeah, Gabe was keeping us posted with a running tab throughout the day. Yeah,
the final tab I think was 3:30.
Big baller.
And I've had regrets today, and I wish I got $100 thing as well. It was like a drawing of like a little cartoon monster on like a tree stump. It looked really cool.
And it's also a fucked up dimension. Everything Gabe bought is a stupid dimension that they don't make frames for. Like,
pretty
standard.
Much. Yeah, the most expensive things I bought don't have standard frames. So thanks for that, artists of Comic-Con.
Well, it's a deal that the artists have with the framing people. Like, all right, we'll make it weird. We'll make it weird shape so you get a cut. So you can get your custom
that,
frames.
That
made.
Niche market. But yeah, Comic-Con was a lot of fun. I had more fun than I expected than just like buying shit. You know, it's really cool just walking down like Artist Alley and seeing all the different things that people are making. There was actually, Rachel bought some print from one of the artists on the first three Sly Cooper games. So that was pretty cool that she was just doing art there.
That is neat.
Yeah. So, you know, you never know who you're going to find.
So that's probably not the person who drew the Sly Cooper clues around Infamous?
No. Probably not.
Damn.
No. No, I've made sure to tell that artist that Sly 1 was one of my favorite platforms.
Man, how fucking wrong you are.
Yeah. Yeah, except
is that what she told you also? She was like, yeah,
yeah,
she looked at you and was like, you're
shook
a dumb. You're a dummo. Get out
she
of here.
Looked at me, shook her head, and then closed her booth for the rest of the show.
She said Sly 2 was the best of the whole series and that you are fucking wrong, Gabe.
She started crying and punched Gabe in the face and walked off. Like, man, that was really overreacted.
Yeah, but damn, Comic-Con cool. Just no fucking Mirror's Edge thing. Not one Mirror's Edge thing. Not one.
Karma.
There was a Mirror's Edge lady.
There's a lot of karma going on here,
like
Gabe.
Faith. Karma for what?
I don't know. That game's, like, they announced it. The game's been completely quiet, and I don't know why you would have expected to see anything there. Like, if they're going to bring out anything extra about that game, it's going to be...
No, I don't want news. I want, like, a print.
Yeah, well, everyone forgot that game. No one knows that it exists.
Fuck you.
Like a second one is the only thing that's gonna put stuff there because then it's relevant.
There's no Psychonauts stuff either, so Rachel was sad.
It was karma for being so fucking wrong about everything.
Dude, just stop being wrong all the time.
Is this about Sly Cooper, Dylan?
And Metal Gear Solid 2.
Fair.
What did you say about Metal Gear Solid 2?
That sucks.
Oh, okay. I can't argue one way or the other.
And this is why Mirror's Edge 2 is never going to come out.
It's going to happen.
Because Gabe said that Metal Gear Solid 2 sucked.
And
yeah, the head of DICE is a big Kojima fan. Nanomachines
like,
are going
like,
to be all over
like,
the next
He's like,
years.
What did that kid say?
That kid said, what about...
Done.
You.
Done. He's the only one that wanted our game. Now he's killed that dream.
Yeah. No, yeah, Comic-Con, cool. You know, if you got a Comic-Con you can go to, bring some cash, and you should go, because pretty damn cool.
Pretty damn expensive.
Yeah, that's why I bring some cash.
It's gonna be pricey.
Yeah. Another thing Comic-Con related that I did, I went and saw Terminator with the Q&A from Michael Biehn, but I was the only one here that did that, and I was going to talk with Javi about it, but he's dead at Amazon.
Yeah.
So.
He'd be working.
Moment of silence.
Yeah, he saw the message where we were like, hey, you got an idea of when you'll be back? Nothing. He's like, fuck you guys. I'm done.
Dead. My cousin Javi. Boop. Dead.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Javi, we can see when you looked at the message. Doofus. But
Michael Biehn, totally not like a charismatic guy. Like, he just doesn't really know exactly what he's gonna say before he says it. Like, there's a lot of in his speech, and it's just kind of funny seeing an actor like that. So, you know, it's cool. It's cool.
He was cool to watch him fumble around with his words and not know what's going on.
No, that was fun to do.
At one point, he got up and wandered out of the room. Man, no.
God, the interview was terrible, but...
Oh, yeah, did you say he was just, like, giving him a hand job the whole time?
He was just blowing Michael Biehn. It was really awkward to watch. Yeah, just acting like Kyle Reese's, like, the best character of all time, and that, like... His performance in Aliens is monumental. It's like, bro, like, Michael Biehn doesn't even think that about himself. Like, calm down.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, pretty fun weekend. Kept playing Wonderful 101. Game's still great.
It's not all we did.
No, Dylan and I have been all about Diablo.
Yeah, I think that's what we should do after we're done with this. Because I think I'm going to just go ahead and bite the bullet and hop
just buy
on
it.
There. Yeah.
I'll start over. I don't care.
He ain't scarred.
I'll make another wizard. I'll
play.
Or
another wizard.
Why would I not?
That's dangerous. But, so Diablo just had its expansion come out last Tuesday? Yeah, last Tuesday. And Reaper of Souls, it added another act and a new game mode, but... before that, Diablo actually changed a bit with, like, a new loot system and different leveling system, and then another leveling system on top of that,
so
none of which...
level systems on level systems.
Yeah, pretty much. None of which I had experienced before. Like, I think the last time I played Diablo was... Jeez, like, the summer that it came out, I'll say.
Yeah, you guys played it for, like, 2 weeks straight.
Yeah, I played a lot of Diablo. I have, like... 80 hours on my wizard, and I think another like 20 on a monk, and that was all like Diablo 1.0 or Diablo 3.
Shitty Diablo 3.
Pretty much. But now what's different is you level up like crazy fast. Like before, it took me, I had to play through X 1 through 4, I think 3 times to hit 60. And this time through, Dylan and I hit 70. After an hour or two after we finished Act 5. So we leveled
up. Well, we also
more
had it on Master for the entire time.
Yeah, so they changed that too. They changed the difficulties as well. So pretty much they redid how that game functions, and it's good now. Like, it's consistently good instead of just being like kind of fun in the early game and then real poop in the late game, which
well,
is
it
really
sounds
what
like
those
they've
games
they've really
off
worked
of.
Reworked how the loot happens too.
Yeah, the loot, the legendaries are a lot they're like more frequent and they're better. Like before, you would find like the highest level people with just a blue item, so that's like the third highest tier, like third from the top. So there's legendary, then rare, then magic, then normal, and then like busted. And blue is the magic one. And people would be using that instead of, like, a rare or a legendary. And that's not how they want it to work. So, they changed the loot system and they made better things drop more often. So it just feels really good to, like, progress faster that way. So, Diablo 3 is, you know, really fun. And it sucks that it came out right now because that's all I want to play. and I have to beat Wonderful 101 and all of that. And it's just taking up my time.
Yeah, I've been doing that Second Sun. I've been on that Second Sun tip, and I was telling Gabe over the weekend that I'm not sure I like it.
I don't know if I like it.
Like, the story seems cool. Like, I like the characters and everything, but it's like kind of what we were talking about last week. It's just getting more defined as I keep continuing that. All the other shit you do to, like, free up zones and everything is not that fun. It's like you're going through something. We were joking. I was like, I've just been running around shooting dudes and, like, trying to clear this area out. And I was like, oh, every zone has this, like, showdown at the end of it. Like, once you get it under 30% controlled, you have this, like, showdown, and that'll, like, free up the zone. And so I'd gotten there, I was like, oh shit, it's time for the showdown. And Gabe's like, oh, that sounds cool. I was like, nah, it's just shooting more dudes. It's just more of the exact same thing, only they put a name on it. Like, I don't know, I just feel like, I don't know, like, that stuff is just not very, very fun. And like I said, the story missions have been cool, and they've been kind of fun. I've liked those, but everything else...
How dare you talk bad about my city?
You guys literally are telling me all this as soon as I buy it.
I know.
Well, Javi,
but Javi really liked it. Yeah, like, other people, I don't know that my opinion is the
most people
general.
Really like it.
Yeah.
Speaking of games on the PS4,
Dylan got a PS4.
I did get a PS4, but I beat Ground Zeroes last night. At least the first mission. The main mission, I should say.
Without any full spoilers, what'd you think?
Whoa. That's...
No, let's just leave it at that.
I'll give my opinion on it since Javi gave his. I think the controls are very, very good. Like, really good. This is the best controls this side of Peace Walker.
That's what Javi was like gushing about when he first played it. Like, he's like, "This is the best controlling Metal Gear game,
yo, yeah,
like, ever,
definitely." Before,
well, it took
for
four generations of consoles, they finally got it.
Before, it was Peace Walker on the PS3, easily Ground Zeroes.
Oh, in the HD collection,
yeah, the okay. Peace Walker control, pretty good in that. But they got rid of all the kind of. Do you remember how Metal Gear has kind of like these quirky controls sometimes? I think in like Metal Gear Solid 2, actually 1, 2, and 3, they had the pressure sensitive stuff, which was really irritating when you were holding someone up with a gun. And you have to slowly let go of the square button to put the gun down.
Yeah, it's like the only game that did that.
And it was awful.
So weird.
It was
like in MGS4, you would like you would hold the triangle button to like grab someone, like what is it, like put them in a headlock kind of and drag them back, and then if you press it really hard, then you just fucking stab him in the throat.
Yeah, which sucked. I would accidentally hold it too hard and he would slit their throat and I'd be like, oh shit, I didn't want to kill anybody, so I have to reload. Ground Zeroes put everything onto R2. If you just tap R2, you slam them to the ground and knock them out. If you hold down R2, you grab them, and then it gives you a choice to press L1 to interrogate them, triangle to kill them, or just tap R2 to knock them out. Which is much, much better and more, I guess, better defined of what that button does. That was my problem with Metal Gear's controls before. Nothing was really well defined. Buttons did multiple things that were all kind of context sensitive and pressure sensitive, which was bad.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, just a quick interjection here. I did just log in to purchase Diablo 3, and that's where it gave me the bundle option.
Yep.
Oh,
so I
cool.
can get them both for 60.
Yeah,
sweet.
That's what I paid.
Yeah, I'm going to buy that right now. Yeah.
Swag. Yeah, we'll totally play after this.
Okay.
Ground Zeroes is probably one of the best looking games I've ever seen.
Yeah, I was telling Dylan before we recorded, like, I've I kind of just want to get it on PS3 to play it, but I want it to look as good as it can. So, I don't know.
Yet. I would wait. Yeah. It's beautiful, and the rain effects are really awesome.
Yeah, rain and wetness is totally going to be this generation's, at least for the start of it, like, the cool trait.
I agree. I'm looking forward to Phantom Pain, so, because they're in the desert. And I think
Phantom Pain is very far off, it sounds like end of 2015.
Really?
Yeah.
That's disappointing. But
the most,
because I really want a bigger chunk of Metal Gear now. Mm-hmm. Like, the story in Ground Zero's really fucked up, actually. I didn't hate it, I didn't hate the ending like a lot of people did. But pretty heavy themes there. Yeah, the whole theme of that mission is pretty. I guess
I'm gonna throw out some things, and you're gonna tell me if Ground Zeroes is heavier or not. That scene that terrifies me from the girl with the dragon tattoo.
It that stuff is there, but not in the context that you're thinking of.
Okay. That scene that terrifies me from Killer Joe.
No, you're good.
Okay, it's got nothing on that?
Killer Joe wins there.
Okay, I think I can handle it.
It is pretty gory at the end. Not going into any spoilers at all, but...
That's what I've heard.
I mean,
do yourself.
I know, Revengeance, you were cutting people in half.
Yeah,
so that's not terribly surprising.
Do yourself a favor and listen to all the tapes.
Oh.
All the tapes. There's tapes at the that already are unlocked at the beginning of the game. Listen to all those first.
Mm-hmm.
Then play the game. Then listen to all the tapes that you unlock. And you have to, yeah, I believe you have to do multiple playthroughs to unlock them all.
Gotcha.
Okay. How long did it take to beat it for you?
For the first time through, 101 minutes.
Mm. Like Dalmatians.
Yep. And I plan on going through it to finish up all the side stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, cool. Actually, speaking of things that make me uncomfortable, I played through, on Saturday, I played through the new and final Bioshock Infinite DLC, Burial at Sea 2, and it was pretty damn good. And there's actually a scene that made me feel a lot like that scene from Prometheus.
Ew!
Where, the famous scene from Prometheus, also known as the good part of the movie.
That movie had good parts?
That part.
The C-section?
Yeah.
Oh.
That was the best part of that movie.
That movie and sucked.
Yeah, it did. But what didn't suck is Burial at Sea Episode 2. You play as Elizabeth this time around.
Spoilers.
In Rapture again.
Oh, okay.
And what's cool about it is that it's more stealthy this time around. And actually offers you that, like, in a similar way to Metal Gear Solid, like a non-lethal way of going through the game. So you have a crossbow that shoots, like, tranquilizer darts and, like, sleep gas and noisemakers so you can distract people. And the stealth for the majority of the time works pretty well. I mean, sometimes it's a little
Bioshock's buggy, but... stealth was never very good.
Yeah, but like, this time, I don't know, like, I never really tried stealth before in Bioshock.
I tried it on the first game. But this time,
since it's, like, the focus, it, you know, it works. Like, you can tell when people are gonna notice you. The only times that I, like, had it, like, kind of bug out on me didn't, like, affect me negatively. It was them not noticing me when they probably should have, and then I knocked them out with that time that it gave me. So... it never was, like, frustrating, which is good. But the story's, like, really interesting. You know, Elizabeth's great. still. You know, go check it out. It's way better than episode one, if episode one, like, turned you off at all, because episode one was okay.
It was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never played any of the extras.
Episode one was, like, really nothing special, but this one's pretty great. A pretty great way for a series to go out.
Along with their developer.
R.I.P.
No, don't you guys remember?
Meanwhile, Candy Crush! Just rake it in that dough.
Don't you guys remember? They're going to milk this thing.
There's still milk in that teat. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where BioShock goes after this.
It'll still be it'll go down the path of being a yearly release that's not very good and just kind of dumb.
Oh no, it's going to be Assassin's Creed.
It'll still be touted as the intellectuals FPS. Fuck you, whoever coined that shit.
Yeah. The worst. Yeah.
So I think that's about all I got up to.
I don't think I played anything else. I guess we played a little more Titanfall. That's really the two things I've played lately, are Titanfall and Second Son.
And listening to us play Diablo.
Yeah, and listening to you guys play Diablo, and now I'm gonna just play Diablo now.
So. I literally started Second Son about an hour ago, and you guys were like, fuck this game. I don't like it.
Ryan's just weird, okay? Yeah. He doesn't like
I don't want to discourage you, because... I don't want to discourage you, because, like I said, a lot of other people have liked it more than I have so far. Maybe it's not getting the fairest shake from me. So, I don't know.
I will say that the PS4 controller is really nice in my hands. Yes.
I do like the controller.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the highlight of me going to Javi's house. I just go there and sit on his couch and hold the controller.
It does still feel a little awkward.
We're playing the Wii U and I'm just holding the PS4 controller.
It does still feel a little awkward, like...
Firing?
When you're doing the aim down the sights and fire. Yes. Like, it still doesn't feel quite right. It still does not feel as good as the 360.
That was my big problem.
Or the one, even.
This is the same thing that happened at the PS3's launch, where everyone used L2 and R2, and I just felt really uncomfortable using that. Yeah. And they did the same thing again.
It feels better on this one, but it still doesn't feel as good as precise. The 1 or the 360. Yeah. Like, just the... Like, they don't... Like, at least on the PS3, like, they did this weird, like, wraparound curve thing. But I think on this one, they're just, like, too far up and, like...
They're out of the way.
Too far forward and maybe too far up. Like they're too high. Like, the triggers don't come down low enough. Because, like, when I do it, I always want to, like, grip them at the very bottoms of the L2 and R2. Like, I always want to hit the bottom of them, and that's because, like, on the 360 and the 1, those triggers go down so far that you don't have to... I don't know, it just feels like it sits better in there.
Yeah, I'm still not a fan of aiming with controllers, period.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely not... I mean, especially if you've been playing on mouse and keyboard, it's definitely not as good, but it's... The dual analog sticks are better than anything we had ever had on a console. So.
Speaking of that, you own Titanfall on both Xbox and PC. What has the better controls?
Well, the thing is, I've always like that kind of stuff. I've always liked the controller better, because I feel like keyboards can be awkward for hitting, like, as far as shooting and aiming. And moving forward, back, left, right, you know, the WASD keys and the aiming, that's always better on a computer.
Yeah.
But everything else is always, like, a way more difficult on a fucking PC. Like trying to, like, I'm having to sometimes, like, look at the keyboard to, like, crouch or use my special or arm my Titan weapon, like, because I have to hit, like, 3, and then I have to hit Q, and then I have to hit C, and I have to hit X to do this other thing, and V to drop my Titan, and it's like, there's too much shit going on there that it becomes difficult for it to be on the fly, like when you need it. And like the biggest issue is like the melee, like when someone rushes in and you need to hit them right then, like it's real easy for me to miss on a keyboard.
Oh, see, I rebound all of those, the grenade, kick, and calling my Titan all on my mouse.
You know, I should probably do that, because I do have some extra buttons on this one, and that is probably something I should do, and maybe it'll become a little more intuitive, like, because it's still not quite the same, but it would definitely feel more intuitive that way. I just haven't had time to, or haven't taken the time to set it up, so maybe I should do that, especially for those controls, because I got like 4 extra buttons on the side of this thing, so some of them are kind of hard to get to, but I think, like, at least the melee I could set to, like, this one thumb button that would be easy to get to.
Yeah.
But that's always been my biggest problem with certain PC shooters. I mean, like, Team Fortress 2, easy enough. Like, even when we were playing Blacklight, that was simple enough. There wasn't a whole... But this one, like, there's a lot of shit going on.
And Titanfall's real...
Titanfall has a lot of shit going on.
It's like a Twitch shooter, and then, you know... In other Twitch shooters, you don't like fucking run on walls and.
Are you being bombed by the Germans right now, Gabe?
Yeah, what was
that? Is that what I just heard?
I don't know.
The air raid sirens are going off.
Yeah, that was weird.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
It might be what's his fucking name?
I was gonna say I just got to Seattle in game. It's fucking weird. Everyone's got like smoke chimneys coming out of their roofs. The
space
now.
Needles everywhere.
Space needles on every corner.
No matter which direction you're facing, the space needle is in the skyline.
All directions point towards the space needle.
Yep.
Yes.
Oh man, I'm looking down towards Bellevue from from the space needle. I could see the space needle.
There should be a point in the game where you can go to the Crescent and sing karaoke.
I don't know what parts of Seattle they put.
Yeah, I don't think that.
The wrong parts.
Yeah, that's not in there. Queen Anne's in there, but also like I don't know how accurate it is. I've been there so much, but I couldn't. I guess I don't know it well enough to know if it's accurate or not.
It just would have been really cool to have like a Grand Theft Auto Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Not like a Grand Theft Auto in Seattle, but like that kind of map. Like the Grand Theft Auto LA is in
Why? Seattle. Driving in Seattle huge. Sucks.
Yes, it does, but that's why you fly as Tesla.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was going to say, yeah, if you want to get stuck in construction.
Yeah, that's what... No, fuck that. It's not you do a Saints Row 4 Seattle, so then, yeah, you never use a car. Ever.
And the only time you use a car is to pick it up and throw
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's the yeah.
You don't use a car because to listen to music.
No, you could actually in Saints Row 4 you can just listen to music anywhere.
Oh, yeah, like an iPod or something.
Yeah, something. Yeah, it just has it built in where you don't have to even be in a car to listen to the music.
You unlock the iPod superpower.
Yeah. So yeah, you don't even need the car to listen to music. You can just turn it on wherever. The only time you use a car is, to throw it or because it would make a good explosion around a bunch of enemies. Like, this will blow up a large area. I'm going to shoot it. Kabloom. So have we even touched news
no,
yet?
No, get to the news. We don't want another hour and a half show.
Sure we do.
I don't care who requests it. Go fuck yourself.
That was a good show.
Yeah, it's fun. I like long shows, so y'all can suck it. I'm just going to read a phone book for the next half hour.
I like long shows, you can suck.
Let's talk about the X-Files. I've been watching the X-Files.
X-Files.
No, it's not, because that would take forever.
I should watch X-Files. I owe it to Rachel to watch X-Files. So
Rachel!
You win, Rachel.
I don't know if Rachel listens to this, but Ice is the...
She does.
Ice is the best episode in season one.
Ice. I'll text her right now and see what she says. Oh, no. She'll have to listen. Yeah.
Listen to me now.
I don't work in the same building as Rachel anymore, so I can't, like, bug her when she comes.
You can't go talk about Bayonetta.
Yeah. It sucks.
Damn. I can't talk about Bayonetta.
Oh, no.
When's Bayonetta 2 come out?
End of this year.
Oh,
I know.
Who's buying me it for Christmas?
I bought you a fucking Hellboy print. You buy me Bane.
Boom roasted.
Yeah. Drop the mic. That would be dropping the mic.
Yeah. It went all right, very well.
So, news time.
Okay.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
Ooh, you turned one.
Oh, boy!
I thought it was born... Stillborn.
Ooh, yeah, holding down paper on my desk for a year. Good to know. I was wondering how long those forms had been there. Now I know.
Have you literally played that?
No, I have, just not very much. There have been a couple of things that I've seen recently, because like I get their newsletters, and there's a couple of games I want to check out. But, man, it's hard to go turn that thing on and look.
And the one thing that everyone that had the Ouya was like saying, this is awesome, was Towerfall. And now Towerfall is on PS4.
And it's not even that good.
It's coming to PC. And Towerfall is awesome. You shut up.
No, if it had online, it might be cool.
Well, also, yeah, that's the thing. It doesn't have online. Yeah, it doesn't have online. So that was the reason I never played it on the Ouya, was because...
Who are you gonna play with?
Here's the best game on the system. Oh, but you can only play locally. Well, fuck.
Ryan, you should have got it then. That's more reason to use it, because no one is online to play with on the Ouya, except for really desperate fucks who are like, I just spent $99 on this.
No one is on the Ouya playing online because
none of the games do online.
Oh,
that was like the thing. It was like all the best games I kept seeing were all because they were local multiplayer, and I was like, well, fuck. I live alone. I haven't taught Ratchet how to hold a controller yet. He's not that good. He's very bad at video games.
Yeah, fucking Ratchet.
Yep.
The Ouya's just in like video game limbo where it just won't go away.
Well, it seems like they're doing okay,
it reached sales expectations, I think, I read.
Gullible people are still buying it.
But, like, what they expected it to sell, it sold. And that's more than, like, companies like Square Enix or Capcom can say.
It's sold on a shoddy promise and that never really followed through.
Yeah, and now, they're trying to sell, the OS or something, the Ouya Everywhere. I don't really know what the deal with that
because is. Because no one's buying it anymore because it doesn't have any games. So they gotta figure out how else they're gonna con people out of money. I'm sorry. I mean, if you can convince me it's anything but a complete failure, maybe not financially, then...
But for us...
a complete... failure.
Like, can it do like Netflix and shit?
No.
What?
Exactly.
Even the Wii can do Netflix, Gabe. Even my fucking 3DS can do Netflix. I can watch.
Oh, but it does DVD, which is weird.
Who cares about fucking DVD? No one.
It hasn't dried.
No, I'm just fucking with you. It's not even the size of a DVD.
I'm sorry.
I was so confused.
It's like a little record player attachment stick on the top.
My phone does Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was one thing I was really surprised about, that it didn't have Netflix or something on it, because it is an Android system. And
does it have like Amazon? Anything?
No, it doesn't have any kind of
YouTube?
Streaming.
Game.
What?
No. Game. It's a complete failure. It's a piece of shit.
Like, I actually turned it on.
Does it have
Napster?
Does it at least have
that? It has an old build of Napster on it where I can still download everything for free, but it will only let me download anything that came out during or before 2001. So,
you know, I know what's going to, I mean, it's, people will say, oh yeah, you said it's a failure, but you also said it's a success financially. But really, can you guys consider it successful?
Yeah, that's not...
It's not sustainable.
Financially is I mean, Final Fantasy XIII was successful financially.
Can we honestly say, Like, let's take the 3DO console. Let's say that sold well. It doesn't change the fact that it was a piece of shit.
Well, that's what I'm just saying. Well, the Ouya might have been a financial success now, but that's not sustainable. Like, it's gonna... They've got a big wad sitting there, and they're now they just have to find a way to spend it in order to continue their success, and I don't know that they can find
Honestly, they should take the money and run.
Just pull the plug.
Everybody just retire.
Well, what are they going to do? Are they really going to be able to release?
Well, they're still getting developers on board because there's still a lot of stuff coming out for the Ouya.
Yeah, what developers?
I just don't know that any of it's very good. It's all small stuff, man.
Indie developers are targeting every fucking platform they can. Yeah, let's get on the Ouya, Steam, Origin, Humble Store. Oh my god, they eat our shit up.
Yeah. So, stuff is still coming out for it. I mean, it's nothing I'm buying, but... I actually have never bought a game on there. Like when it came out, I played a bunch of demos, and none of them were very good, and
Ryan,
nothing's been very
good.
You're
part of the problem.
The most consistent thing I heard about the Ouya was that the controller is, like, literally the worst controller ever made.
It's pretty bad, but at least it syncs up with all your other controllers.
I would like to see that, then. I would like to hold that controller, and... I've held shitty controllers.
I'll bring it next time I come out. Next time we all see each other, I'll bring it. You can check it out. It's per bad. It feels so cheaply made, but that, like I said, that's why you can sync up your other controllers.
I need to test this because I've held some shitty controllers.
Let's just start building the hype now, and then we'll release a video, like, come packs of just Ryan placing the controller in Dylan's hands.
And then Dylan taking a shit on it in the front yard.
I'll bring the Atari Jaguar controller and we'll compare them.
Okay, I think we should, because this might still be worse.
In my opinion, the Atari Jaguar controller is one of the worst. That's the one I believe that's the one with all the the buttons all over it. Let me double check real quick. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's just gonna be hard to find a controller that feels worse than this one. Like, just by the how cheap it feels, like,
yes.
How cheaply
okay,
it feels
yeah.
made.
It's the Atari Jaguar controller that I believe is the worst one ever made. Let me show you guys a real quick picture of it.
Well, it's like a fucking controller with a Razer Naga attached to it, right? Like,
it's pretty fucking bad.
Oh god.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That looks like a piece of toast. That literally looks like a slice of bread.
The Virtual Boy controller is pretty bad as well, but I think the Jaguar's is worse. If anybody has what was the console that those shitty Zelda games came out for?
Oh, the CDI.
CDI. I've never held one of those controllers, but
I don't remember that one feeling too bad.
I've never held it. I know it's like a remote control, like a TV remote.
So yeah, I think I kind of played with one in a electronics store when I was a kid, but yeah, at least like the Virtual Boy probably had the Nintendo D-pad, so
it had two.
So that was probably good.
Had two, one for each thumb.
Well, of course.
But only one game utilized the second thumb pad.
Nice.
Next up, a Last of Us PS4 edition is all but announced officially at this point.
Is that really necessary?
Oh, I'd get a PS4 to get a...
You're part of the problem, Gabe.
I know.
Really? Are we to the point that we're going to remake games a year? Not even a year old?
That would be the best thing on the PS4.
Or barely a year old.
Maybe I'll get it so I can actually play it on my PS4 since my PS3 busted.
Did you never play The Last of Us?
No, I did.
Oh, okay.
No, I finished it. I just, you know, yeah, you like, were on, now you yeah. guys are talking about, like, oh, play multiplayer.
Did Devin ever finish
it?
No, Devin's still at the generator.
He's so scared of that mushroom man.
Yeah, so on, I, I forget what, I think it was some European interview. A Sony rep said that there's a PS4 edition of Last of Us coming out, essentially.
I'm uncomfortable with us releasing new versions like that. It's
really soon after the game just
came. Tomb Raider did the same thing, and I felt the same way. That's very uncomfortable.
It's just like an odd point.
What Assassin's Creed 4 did was fine. That's great. They released.
Let's just release on fucking everything.
Exactly.
But that's different than a game that came out before, like
a year ago,
kind of the dead end of the last generation.
That's fuck that.
And I'm not like defending it. I would totally get The Last of Us again, but.
All that tells me is at the end of the of a console generation's life, don't buy any games. Because they're just going to re-release that shit. I think it just sets a precedent. Oh, yeah, we can make some good money and then just re-release the same game a year later.
Don't buy the best games. Because they're just going to come
out. Mean, if they want to re-release it, I mean, that's really on the consumer. Like, you don't...
Oh, yeah,
But if you have a problem buying it twice, then... Yeah, don't do it if you're planning on getting the next system. But if you don't care, then you don't care. Like,
yeah,
what difference does it make? Like, I don't know. It just seems like you don't. No one's. They're not by releasing it. They're not forcing anyone to buy it again.
No, it's definitely up to you. I think that this just we have an unhealthy obsession with trends, like
and pretty graphic.
The game industry likes trends a lot, where, oh, this was kind of successful. Let's take that same thing and fucking do it over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. That's how the DLC age started. Some things have been done very well. I think Mass Effect 2's DLC was really good.
Yeah, Mass Effect, like, Shadow Broker DLC was great. That was the best one.
But yeah, it just... I don't like it.
And to further back that up, the PS4 edition being real, it showed up on Extra Life, which is a game selling... Or is a game retailer.
I thought Extra Life was the...
It's there's no E in the word extra on this one, so...
Oh, okay, so it's like, hey, you guys know that, like, charity thing?
We're gonna copy that.
We're not related, but you can believe it.
Yes, that.
Yeah, I'm totally willing to be part of the problem to have a prettier Last of Us.
I hate you.
I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. All right, next up, we got a bunch of Xbox news. So there's a Titanfall Xbox One bundle out there now for $450.
I thought that came out with launch of that game.
It's been out there for a little bit.
Yeah, it's been out there for a little bit.
But
yeah.
What's happening now is that other retailers, it was just, I think, a few retailers at first, but it just kind of spread out to other Xbox One bundles as well. So, like, the Forza bundle, I think there was actually like a Call of Duty bundle, or not called a Battlefield bundle. There was another bundle. I can't remember what the fuck it was, though. And what's interesting is that with, like, Titanfall and an Xbox One, you're getting, like, people are saying you're getting, like, more bang for your buck than a PS4, which is mathematically correct. And I think that's an interesting marketing strategy. But what is weird is that regular Xbox Ones without any games
are still $500.
Are still $500.
Yeah, I heard about that, and it was also weird. There were some websites saying that, like, some apparently journalists don't know how to math, because they were like, I saw several websites reporting that it was like there's a Titanfall Xbox One bundle for $450, which is a $50 savings over the two items separately. No, it is a $110 savings over the two. The two individually, you dumb shits. It's real simple.
Well, Ryan, numbers are different than words.
I know. And I know.
That can be a little hard to for some people.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently so. But yeah, no,
the Xbox
I mean,
One did get a price drop in Europe to $450, like standard. Like that's the standard Xbox One.
Yeah, but that's in pounds also.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. Still, you know, we could maybe be seeing a price drop soonish.
Yeah, I think
very
that is
reminiscent
really
of the 3DS and its price drop.
Yeah, I think that's just really fun. I don't think they feel like they're in trouble. I think they're still selling a shit ton. It just makes a lot of sense. Like,
it's the most successful Xbox launch ever.
Yeah, they're not having trouble, and so. I think Titanfall is kind of like right now their killer app, so it makes sense to really push that out there. And be like, hey, we can drop the price of the console a little bit, include the game, get it out there. I think it's just a method to close the gap a little bit. They're not hurting, so.
And you mentioned a little Titanfall there, and there's actually a matchmaking update for that lovely old game.
Oh, yeah!
That we couldn't find any players in.
Oh, we tried that beta mode?
We did.
Oh.
We couldn't find anyone.
We weren't in that lobby for too long. And I think they actually just released a new update, because this was something that I read. It was posted about on their website just a few days ago. And we didn't play Titanfall in the last few days because Diablo. and so now, in this new like beta matchmaking mode that they're still working on, matches will take longer to find. That's not a guarantee, but they offer more time for it, but they'll be more skill based in their matching instead of just connection and the speed at which you can join a game. So it'll actually try to make it a more competitive game instead of just a game, which is really cool. And then they have a system where if you get stomped after that game, that team that just got stomped will be removed from that lobby and placed against another team. So it like periodically splits the teams apart and searches for new opponents.
Wow.
So that games won't.
That's pretty cool.
I like that. Naughty Dog can learn something here.
Well, shit, a lot of places can, because, yeah. I mean, that's like in stuff like Battlefield, if we just kept getting stomped and finally be like, alright, re-rack, just everyone back out, we'll start it again. Like, because that one just perpetuated the same teams.
See, TF2 has had auto balance. I don't get how this hasn't become a thing in either COD or Titanfall.
Yeah.
Auto balance is fantastic unless it happens for no reason.
And it always is. It's always one of us.
It always splits up the friends.
Yeah, auto balance is usually a pretty solid system.
Usually.
You know, it's not perfect, but, you know.
I believe it's 4 wins in a row, and it auto balances.
Yeah, it will scramble the teams. Yeah. Well, that's also a different matchmaking system, because that's just
those are server-based.
You join a server
instead
of just joining a matchmaking lobby.
I think if you don't have servers, then, honestly, matchmaking should be required.
Mm-hmm. But it's nice that they rolled this out, you know, pretty soon after the release. You know, it's been a few weeks, but it's nice that they know that it's an issue and that they're trying to fix it. So, way to go, Respawn.
Yeah.
Hey, Dylan, mention Naughty Dog again, just real quick.
Naughty Dog.
Speaking of Naughty Dog, Uncharted 4's game director Justin Richmond left Naughty Dog. And now he is with Riot Games.
Stormy seas at Naughty Dog.
Slippery slope to bad Gamesville.
So Justin Richmond oversaw the Uncharted 2 multiplayer. And he's the game director for
the best multiplayer of that series.
Yes, and he was the game director for Uncharted 3. So Uncharted 4 has now lost two top dogs.
Who's gonna take over? I guess I will.
Amy Penne and Justin Richmond.
Did you really say Penne again?
No. Yes. So he said that he's just, in his statement, he said he just like decided to leave Naughty Dog, and decided to go to Riot because they have some really cool innovation going on there, which I would love to see because, you know,
League is getting kind of stale.
Like, Riot's just, I like Riot, they're just really frustrating. Because, like, League of Legends only has, so it has the 5v5, 3v3, and about a year ago they introduced Arum, which is, you get a random champion, and there's only one lane to go down. And in the last few months they've started doing, like, spin-off game modes, like, the first one they did was called One for All, where in the lobby, instead of just picking your own champion, you would pick the champion you want to play, and everyone else on the team would do so, and then out of like those five champions that you would pick, it would randomly pick one of them, and then everyone on your team was now that champion for that game, which is not allowed in standard play, and that mode was a lot of fucking fun. It totally breaks the game, and it's not balanced for that at all, but it's just, like, stupid fun, and everyone loved it. It was only there for a few weeks. They removed it. I don't know why they would remove it. It was, like, crazy popular.
Hey, Gabe!
It's not like you have to play it, like, just because it unbalanced it. Like, you don't have to force people to play it. People were playing it because it was fun.
Hey, Gabe!
Yeah. Hey.
You know what game looks to be shaking up that stale formula?
Heroes of the Storm.
Oh, who said that? Oh. Yes.
Dylan really wants to get into Heroes of the Storm.
I don't know what that is.
It's Blizzard's MOBA, which is the League of Legends game type.
Oh.
Or game genre.
No, I understand that.
Yeah, it's just like, it's frustrating. And then they brought out another one. What was the next one they did?
Six champions.
No, oh no! The next one they did, I think, was just like one.
Well, you don't need to go through the whole thing, Gabe.
Yeah, and they didn't. Okay, and this one's important. This one's important though, because last year at the All-Star Tournament, where it's the best of the best from each region playing against each other, they teased the Magma Chamber, which was one lane, and it was designed for 1v1 and 2v2 matches, which everyone's wanted for a long fucking time. And then we didn't hear about the Magma Chamber for a fucking year. A goddamn year. Other than, like, them saying, hey, we're still working on it, it's coming. Macho Man's coming. And then this game mode comes out, the, like, 1v1, 2v2, on the Arum map, which is just the one lane. So it's not specifically designed for this, but, you know, whatever, we'll take it. And then it ends. And they make a statement saying that Magma Chamber will never come out. That 1v1 mode was not popular enough. And it's like, fuck you. I want it. But the reasoning they used, I'll try to wrap this up quick because no one fucking cares.
Yeah, it's
the
reasoning
they used was that, like, the game time was like less than 1%, but the games in 1v1 and 2v2 modes are way fucking shorter than regular games. And God damn it, Riot, just do more good things instead of frustrating things. I like you, but please. Maybe Justin Ritman can fix it.
90% of your work is just making new skins. Jesus.
But that new Rumble skin is real hot. Okay, and last up. Call of Duty DLC.
Uh-huh.
It's got the Predator in it.
What?
The Predator. Not Michael,
like,
Jackson.
Like the drone?
The Predator.
You
the
mean
Predator drone.
So Michael Biehn is in it?
Yeah, Michael Biehn.
Oh.
Michael Biehn is reprising his star role as the Predator.
Cool. He can star alongside Carl Urban in Star Wars.
I love Star Wars Wrath of Khan.
I love Carl Urban in the Avengers.
It's unclear as to what fashion the Predator is going to be in this DLC. He's just in the trailer, and it's been confirmed that he's in some capacity involved. And I think that's kind of cool, because, you know, Call of Duty has gotten a little stale for a lot of people
Really? I think Ghost and Black Ops 2 did quite a bit to shake it up. With the different... It was weird, like apocalyptic and shit.
Ghost was not that good from what I hear.
Really? I didn't mind it. Who'd you hear it from? People who have played...
Back the box quote, I didn't mind it.
No, I thought it was fun. Where'd you hear that from? From someone who just is like, man, they come out every year. I have to just put it down because I...
No, from my friends that buy Call of Duty every year.
Okay. I'd have to ask my brother because he plays it every year as well.
I haven't played it myself. This is just what I've heard. So I can't speak.
I think he was more interested in GTA 5 this year. He's weird. He has one or two games, and then that like lasts him almost the entire year. Because he just plays like nothing but like the few games.
He should get Diablo.
He doesn't play PC.
Oh. It's on consoles.
Oh yeah,
it is.
I think that's like a really stupid tie-in for a series, and I like.
It's
kind of
weird.
I think it's cool. I think it's dumb, and I love it.
The trailer I watched had like a big Kraken too, and I was like, "What? What? It's like Halo now."
It's gonna be great.
There's aliens and shit.
Okay, and last little tidbit: Goat Simulator 2 is out tomorrow, or I guess
why
today.
Why is everyone so into this? I don't fucking get it.
Because it looks so dumb.
People are fucking dumb. Then
it's the whole like simulator culture that's like taken over.
No, it's the whole dumbass culture. We gotta get behind some because it seems weird and quirky.
Yeah,
I love Twitch loves Pokemon. It's so fucking weird.
All right, Twitch loves Pokemon was great. Now it's run its course. I was really hoping he'd stop after the first one. Now it's old. Stop it. Not cool anymore. It's too popular. Too popular.
The hell is?
I just realized I totally forgot to ask for questions.
The hell is Goat Simulator? Well, do you just like eat grass and then get slaughtered for your sweet succulent meat? If
no, you do normal goat things like pick up a ladder and hit people with it.
Uh huh. Makes sense.
What?
Goat things, Dylan.
You get milked then.
Sure.
We'll go with that. I forgot to ask for questions. Ryan, ask me a question.
Gabe, is the show over?
Fuck.
Because you forgot to ask for questions.
You dumbo. You fucking dumbo.
You are kind of dumb.
For a great dishonor to my ancestors.
Oh, man. Guess you can't go back to Mirror's Edge City.
Nope.
Oh.
Can't go back to Mega City 1.
Dude, that's Dread.
That's Michael Biehn in Dread, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. God, I love Carl Urban.
Who was also in Lord of the Rings.
Alright, we're getting real stupid. Ryan, take us
Yeah, alright. Go check out our shit at GameOverNation.com. Go download some past episodes. Check them all out. You could also hit us up on Twitter at Game Over Nation. That's where we like to get questions. You can also leave them on Facebook, facebook.com/GameOverNation. So those are the three places to reach us. And I guess with that, this has been episode 12345 of Game Over Nation.
Why would you tell them my luggage password?
I'm sorry. I forgot we were leaving the last number to mystery.
Fuck, but, now I gotta change that.
Yeah, you should probably go change that. But with that, bye everybody.